listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Stupid Chi Tricks Revealed. Part 2. The Unbendable Arm. Today's episode continues a series within the Martial Brain podcast. This series covers my understanding of how a number of different martial arts tricks are performed in demonstrations. For thousands of years, clever humans have developed and used tricks to fool less clever humans into believing in magic. Creating this belief allowed these clever humans to gain power, influence, and wealth. Early examples of this include ancient temples, in which the priests and priestesses used ingenious engineering, employing hidden passages, pulleys and counterweights, hydraulic power, and pneumatic power to create a wide variety of effects to bamboozle the gullible masses. Statues would speak, shout, or sing, even move. Fires would ignite or extinguish, seemingly by themselves, or burn without any apparent fuel. Offerings would disappear down trapdoors from altars. Musical instruments like trumpets, drums, and lyres would seemingly play themselves. All of this was cued and accompanied by solemn prayers, entreaties, and intonations from the holy men and women. In the modern parlance of stage magicians and con artists, this use of carefully rehearsed speech to create the mood, direct the attention, and enhance the emotional response of the audience to the tricks is called patter, or the spiel. The patter and tricks work together synergistically to create a more profound effect than either one alone. Remember that the vast majority of the audiences were almost completely unsophisticated, illiterate, and inexperienced with any but the most primitive technology. The science fiction writer Arthur C. Clarke once coined what is now referred to as Clarke's Law. The law states, "Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic." So the combination of the ignorance of the audience with the skillful interweaving of technology and clever patter creates an effect on the audience. The better the effect, the more the audience will be willing to cough up in the form of offerings or in the price of a ticket. In modern times, stage performing psychics and faith healers make use of similar tricks to fool people into believing that they have magical powers and to get them to cough up the price of admission. The martial arts, unfortunately, has a rich history of the same type of trickery. In most cases, the magic they want you to believe in is called chi, or ki, and what they usually want from you is for you to become a paying member of their martial arts academy or group, or at least an admirer. Now, it's important to point out that not all people who claim to use chi are cynical con artists. Some indeed think that they do wield some sort of internal energy, and don't understand the real mechanism behind the feats that they perform. In my career as a martial artist, I've seen many of these tricks. Some of them I've even been taught how to do. You've probably seen many of these tricks before yourself. The one I will describe today is the unbendable arm. In this trick, at least one version of it, the person performing the trick stands facing an assistant. The performer then lifts one of his arms and places the wrist of that arm on the assistant's shoulder. The performer explains to the audience that before demonstrating his chi power, he will show them the futility of using, quote, muscle power alone, unquote. He continues his patter as he makes a tight fist and locks out his elbow so that his arm resembles a straight iron bar. He extends it from his shoulder to the wrist that rests on the assistant's shoulder. He instructs his assistant to place both his palms on the inner elbow of the offered arm and pull down hard. As the assistant complies, the performer grimaces with effort, but is, from all appearances, unable to stop the assistant from forcing his elbow to bend. The arm collapses under the pressure. Then the performer explains that he will now demonstrate the difference that chi power makes. He replaces his wrist on the assistant's shoulder. He explains to the crowd that he will now relax his muscles, which is made evident by the looseness of his fingers, the very slight bend in his elbow, and his ability to continue to speak to the audience casually and with no apparent effort. He instructs the assistant to try again. The assistant complies and seems to fail. No matter how hard he seems to try, all he can manage with maximal effort is to add a few degrees of bend to the performer's elbow. He seems completely unable to make it collapse as he did before. To add to the effect, the performer will maintain an utterly calm facial expression as he continues his patter to the audience, unaffected by the seemingly Herculean efforts of his assistant. The audience is astonished by the amazing efficacy of internal energy. Yeah. Okay, let's deconstruct this a bit. The structure and function of the human elbow evolved in such a way that when it is in the extended, locked position, it effectively and efficiently resists force, but along its long axis. That means force going down the length of the arm, not perpendicular to the arm as is done in our demonstration. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to hold a heavy weight in the locked out position when doing the bench press? That's exactly how the human arm is structured to work, resisting force along its long axis, not pressing against it at a perpendicular angle. In the demonstration, it's quite easy to exert enough force to put an initial bend in the elbow, breaking the locked position of the joint, which isn't structured to resist effectively in that direction. Let's go back to our bench press. Have you ever noticed that the instant you slightly bend or unlock the elbow in the bench press, it takes considerably more effort to stop the barbell from descending? That's because now the bones are no longer locked in line. Your muscles, mostly your triceps muscles at first, must now take over much more of the job. Going back to our demonstration, there is an opposite effect in play from that of a bench press. When force is applied perpendicular to the elbow, as it is in our demonstration, after the initial bending of the elbow, it actually becomes more difficult to bend with each further degree of bend. That is, unless the performer voluntarily collapses his arm the rest of the way. But we'll discuss that later. If you were to begin the demonstration with your arm slightly bent, but still braced on the assistant's shoulder, it would be difficult for your assistant to do much more than bend it slightly further, especially if you stay calm and don't try to use your muscles to fully extend or lock your elbow, which is a waste of time. Instead, relax your shoulders and fingers, relying on your triceps to keep the arm from fully collapsing, and absolutely do not try to fully extend back to the locked position. It also helps a lot to maintain a good stance and structure so that the efforts of the assistant do not pull you off balance. With a little practice, it's much easier than you would think. No energy cultivation, breathing exercises, special diet, chanting, meditation, or magic are necessary. At this point, you might say to me, "Now wait a minute, Jeff. When the martial arts master's assistant applied force to the arm, it not only bent, it collapsed all the way to a fully bent position." That's true. And it's a vital part of the show. There are two possible explanations for this. One is that the performer is honest but naive, and is only focusing on preventing the elbow from bending in the first place, so that once it bends, he gives up and allows it to collapse the rest of the way. He may even have been taught that a locked elbow is not conducive to the proper flow of internal energy and thus expects his arm to fail. The alternative explanation is that the performer is in on the joke and consciously allows his arm to fully collapse in order to better sell the trick by illustrating a greater contrast between muscle strength and chi power. If the performer is naive and really believes he has control over an arcane form of energy unknown to science, That at least lets him or her off the hook from being dishonest, but leaves him or her on the hook for being credulous and inskeptical. It's sad but true, however, that woefully too many martial artists using tricks like this are nothing more than con artists, taking advantage of the human weakness for being prone to magical thinking. Such cynical use of trickery to convince people of the existence of magical powers is loathsome and despicable. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.